You've got your Bible. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And if you haven't brought your Bible this morning, there is a Bible in the pew there. We would encourage you to take that Bible out and open to Luke 19. Just wonder if you've gone out of your way this week to share the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody. Oh, by the way, did you know that you don't really have to go way out of your way to share the Lord Jesus with folks? I mean, the Lord just sets situations up for you every day. I mean, there's every day. If you're really looking for Him, you don't have to go out of your way necessarily to minister on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes there are occasions when the Lord calls us to go out of our way a little bit. You know, maybe go visit somebody in a nursing home, or maybe go down and talk to our neighbor about the Lord Jesus. Maybe whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do a specific thing. Sometimes, you know, we realize that that's kind of going out of our way a little bit, and so the devil will wrestle with us, the flesh will wrestle with us, and one of the three is going to win out. Either the Lord's going to win out, the flesh is going to win out, or the devil's going to win out. And so many times it's the flesh and the devil that wins out. Is that not true? I think that's true. I think that I find that in my own life as a pastor. The Lord speaks to my heart and He says, Jim, you need to do this, you need to do this and thus and such. And lo and behold, the phone will ring, and the devil will have something else that he wants me to do instead of what I really need to be doing for the Lord. And so if this pastor's guilty of that, I'm sure that there's got to be somebody in the pews out there that finds that difficult as well, finds it hard to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit sometimes. Here in Luke chapter 19, I often think of this recorded event in the life of Zacchaeus as the story of not one, but two men going out of their way to accomplish a great task. Jesus, in this scripture this morning, is headed for Jerusalem. And by the way, He's on His way to Jerusalem for the last time. That He will be going to Jerusalem. He'll be turned over to Pontius Pilate. He'll be turned over to Herod, and then He'll come back to Pontius Pilate. And before the end of the week, He'll be hanging on Calvary's cross for you and me. So Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. He's coming out of Samaria, and He's en route to Jerusalem. But it's interesting to me that He's going out of His way. If He just wanted to go straight on to Jerusalem, all He'd have to do is to come down from Samaria and go straight to Jerusalem. But for some reason, Jesus is going to go to Jericho. He's going to go through Jericho, and then He's going to go on to Jerusalem. That's like going from Raleigh to Benson. You know, you say, well, I need to get down to Benson, and so what you do is you come to Clayton, you drive all the way 12 miles into Clayton, and then turn and go down to Benson. That's kind of going out of your way, isn't it? That's kind of going out of your way. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He is on His way to Jerusalem, but he goes out of His way. He goes to 12 miles out of His way to Jericho. Christ has always been the one to go out of His way for others. He went out of His way to meet a Samaritan woman at a well in Samaria. He went out of His way to bring a man's daughter back to life. He went out of His way to cleanse a young lad of his demon possession. And He went out of His way when He came into this world and went to Calvary's cross for you and me. The Lord Jesus could have written us off completely and forever, but He didn't. He left His throne in heaven to come into this world and to go to Calvary to die there for you and me. He went out of His way to save us. And here in the scriptures this morning, Christ is going out of His way to meet hearts that are in desperate need of Him. Verse 1 says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. By the way, the word Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus means pure, which was the chief among the publicans. He was a tax collector, if you will, and he was rich. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning as we have another opportunity to share in Your Word, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom and understanding about Your Word. Father, we thank You this morning for Christians who have come together to encourage one another, to lift one another up as we wait upon Your coming. outside, Father, the world just seems to be falling apart. There's so much confusion, so much antagonism, so much misery and wickedness, Father. And Lord, it's all just a sign of your soon coming for your church. And so, Lord, as we wait upon the coming of your church, Father, help us not to be stationary or stagnant, Father. Help us to be busy about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, Father, how Brother Charlie had mentioned, the harvest is ripe. It's time. The harvest is ready to be gathered in. And yet, Father, if we delay, the harvest could be lost for all eternity. And so, Father, help us to be busy about your work today. Help us to be, if necessary, to go out of our way to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people this morning. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Being rich, here it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And I just want you to know that being rich is not a sin. There's no indication here at all that Zacchaeus came about his wealth by deception or dishonesty. And I know many times when I hear a message on Zacchaeus, the pastor will or the preacher or the teacher will invariably always come up and say he became rich by a dishonest method or so forth and so on. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. The person who says that's reading into the text, reading in something that's not really there. It doesn't say that Zacchaeus was dishonest or that he became rich because of deception. Now, Zacchaeus is going to own up here a little bit later on to the possibilities that he may have made some mistakes in the past. But being rich is not a sin. In fact, Zacchaeus may very well have been the publican that Christ talked about in the previous chapter, standing afar off from the temple, beating upon his own breast and praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If this is true, then here we have God responding to the sinner's prayer. And so Jesus goes out of his way to come to Jericho. And now Zacchaeus is going to go out of his way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus is going to go out of his way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. There were so many people gathered along the side of the road. You know, when you go to the Christmas parade or whatever, the little people, many dads and moms will hold their children up on or lift their children up so that they can see over all the other folks, you know. What are they looking for? At the Christmas parade, what are they looking for? That's right, they're looking for Santa Claus. And look, I believe that Santa Claus existed. And if you're a young person this morning in this sanctuary, I want you to know if you believe in Santa Claus, it's okay right now. It's all right. It's okay. That's okay. But let's not forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here it says. And let me say this too, as I was reading this. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now, you know, for many Christians today, that'd be enough just not even to worry about it. You know, just that would be a good excuse for not seeing Jesus, not caring about seeing Jesus. Well, you know, there were so many people there, and I just couldn't see over the top of them, so I just went home. Is that what Zacchaeus is going to do? That's not at all what Zacchaeus is going to do. And by the way, keep this in mind. He's a government official. He's a government official. He's a rich man. He's an adult. And yet, look what he does. Look at what he does. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You know, you can almost feel in your own heart Zacchaeus' great anticipation of seeing Jesus as he awaits balanced upon a tree. I was sharing with some of the church family members this morning before services that the message this morning would be about Zacchaeus. How many of you first heard the story of Zacchaeus when you were just a little person? Raise your hand. Now, isn't it, why is it that Zacchaeus is so popular to the little folks? Because you can ask a little person a number of Bible questions or about a number of Bible stories, and invariably, if they've been in church a while, they'll tell you about Zacchaeus. Why is that? That's true. But isn't it interesting? Here's a government official who's doing a childish thing, don't you think? Isn't it? Isn't he doing a childish thing? Running and climbing up in a tree. Here's a prominent government official running like a little child and climbing like a little child up into a tree to get a better picture, a better view of this man Jesus. And Luke chapter 18, verse 17, the Lord Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a what? As a little child, shall in no wise enter therein." So Jesus is coming Zacchaeus' way, and from the place where he is seated on a branch, Zacchaeus will get a good look at this miracle worker. And any moment, Jesus would be passing right underneath him. And how excited he was. But you know, in this sanctuary this morning, Jesus is present. He's passing by every pew. The Bible teaches us that. Jesus teaches us that at the very time, at this very moment, this morning, Jesus, and by Spirit, is passing through the pews, listening to every heart, reaching out to every need. But we must be receptive to his presence, anxious for his touch, and open our heart to his healing power. And I ask you this morning, are you excited about the Lord Jesus Christ being present here this morning? I am. I'm excited about it. Are you excited about one day seeing him face to face? I am. I can't wait for that day. Somebody wrote, I answered an individual who wrote me, said, "Preacher, is it wrong to be homesick for heaven?" I wrote him back very quickly. I said, I'm homesick for heaven. And the more I see of this world, the more homesick I become or grow. So Zacchaeus could almost feel the ground moving under him as the crowd drew closer, voices shouting, people singing, and children laughing. And then there he was, right underneath the tree. And verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him." He looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and said unto him, "Zacchaeus." Now, Zacchaeus had never met Jesus in his life. And yet, the Lord Jesus looks up and calls him by name. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Can you imagine the excitement of that? J. Vernon McGee makes this point here. He says, Jesus didn't stop at the mayor's home. He didn't stop at a Pharisee's house, nor did he enter into any other prominent person's home save that of Zacchaeus, the publican. God's not a respecter of persons like many of us are. He's not a politician like so many times we are. God looks upon a man's heart. He knows that a man is lost within. Rather than spend time on the negative, Jesus rejoices in the anticipation of what that man can be. Jesus saw something wonderful in Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus certainly saw something wonderful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw Zacchaeus just outside the temple, and when he saw him running ahead to climb the tree to get a better look at him, he came to abide at his home. The wise men traveled for a long distance to see the face of the newborn king. Yet when they arrived in Jerusalem and spoke with the Jews, there's no record that one priest or even one Pharisee or one Jewish scribe went along with the wise men to see the child Jesus. All these religious people, all these people who are responsible for sharing the word of God with the masses, not one of them went with the wise men to see the face of the newborn king. Not one Jewish leader that day. In Zacchaeus' day, during this event, not one Jewish leader that day was excited about seeing the face of Jesus as the one publican who they hated and despised so much. And Jesus will abide with the one who is willing to open his or her heart to him and welcome him into their home. My question this morning, have you welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ into your home? Is Jesus a part of your home? There are homes that I can go into that the moment you walk in the door, you can feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit. You can. And then there's other homes that I've been in that, I don't know, it just seems like there's so much going on, there's so much there's so much. There's so the home is so busy with other things that it's hard to find the spirit in those homes. You know, we do have a lot of things in our homes that preoccupy our minds and rob us of time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says Zacchaeus, did he wait around? Did he sit up there in that tree and have to think about whether he's going to come down or not? The Bible says, and he made haste, and he came down, and he received him how? Hallelujah. If Christ were to knock on your door today, would you be ready to receive him into your home joyfully? Zacchaeus had no idea that Christ would be coming to his home that day, and his excitement and joy over having Christ come to his home revealed something special about Zacchaeus' heart. Maybe he wasn't the model religionist, but he was quick to receive Christ into his home, and every one of us ought to be the same way. Every one of us ought to be the same way. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, that's not God's fault, that's your fault. It's not God's fault, it's your fault. And so Zacchaeus had no idea. You know, the Lord Jesus could come today. Zacchaeus had no idea that Christ would be coming to his home that day, and his excitement and joy over having Christ come to his home reveals that very special condition of Zacchaeus' heart. In Luke chapter 12, verse 37 and 40, the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Be ye therefore ready," Jesus says, "also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not." Why, Jesus could knock on your heart's door today. Jesus could call you home today. And if Jesus calls you home today, boy, you need to be ready. You need to be ready for that calling. Zacchaeus heard that Christ was coming. He went out of his way and climbed up a tree to make sure he could see him. And when Christ rewarded him for his effort, the crowd began to murmur. This is so sad. This is so sad. This is true of many church folks today. This is true of many church folks today. When they see God, when they see somebody who somehow is being richly blessed, it's amazing how church people will become envious, jealous, and begin to murmur. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 7, "And when they saw it," these are the people, "and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." Well, let me ask you, what does the Bible say about sinners? How many sinners are there in the world? That's right. That's right. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us. All of us. Here is a good thing that is happening in this community, an exciting thing, and yet there will always be those that find fault with the good things of the Lord Jesus. Murmuring has destroyed many a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Murmuring, whispering, and gossiping. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. When there should have been rejoicing, the human heart was judging and criticizing and destroying." Peter says, "For he that will love life and see good days." Listen to this. Peter said, Peter who denied Jesus Christ three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and God restored him. He sought God's forgiveness. God restored him, but he learned a great lesson. Listen to what Peter says. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." The devil's ministers are quick to be on the scene when the good of Christ is abounding. Zacchaeus was so happy. He was so honored and so humbled. What does the Bible say about humility? Listen to Peter again. Peter, you remember, who was always outspoken. Boy, Peter was the one that jumped right in there with the first word, the first question. Listen to Peter says. Peter says, "Now humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." James says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We can't lift ourselves up at all. And any attempt to do so is just going to fall apart. It's going to come to nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ can lift you up. Can lift you up and lift you out. Whatever the burden is you're carrying today, whatever sadness is upon your heart, you bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can lift you up. He can lift you out of that situation. Scripture says, cast all your cares upon Him because what? He cares for you. He cares for you. Now listen to Zacchaeus. Here is a repentant heart. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's better than 10%, isn't it? That's better than 10%. Zacchaeus is not talking about ill-gotten gain. He is talking about his legitimate possessions, goods that he knows are his alone. He will give to the poor half of all that he has. And Zacchaeus says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him, how much? Fourfold. I believe that every one of us knows of some time in our past where we too have wronged someone or produced or procured something by false accusation. Zacchaeus was willing to acknowledge that fact, and he was willing to make things right again. And here is the perfect picture of repentance. What is repentance? It's more than just asking forgiveness from God. It's turning from the old way and walking in the new. The Sunday school teacher asked her students, what is repentance? And the little boy said, it's being sorry for your sin. But the little girl responded, it's being sorry enough to quit. And that's true. Zacchaeus repented of his sin and he began a new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a rich man, unlike any other rich man. Like another rich man that Christ had met. You remember this other rich man who was not willing to part with his money? Zacchaeus was willing to give half of what he owned to the poor. And further, he was willing to restore fourfold anything that he had taken from another by false accusation. Zacchaeus' repentance was more than just a verbal statement. He was willing to put his words into action. And in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Let me tell you something. Let me give you the difference between the rich man. You remember what God asked the rich man to do? The rich man came to him and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he says, well, I've done all of that all my life. You know, he's kept all the commandments. And Jesus said, well, sell everything you've got. Take up your cross and follow. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, you know, Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus, hey, sell everything you've got. Give away everything you've got. Give to the poor and come and follow me. Zacchaeus was already following Jesus. Zacchaeus' heart already belonged to the Lord. So Zacchaeus wasn't sold out on the riches. The rich man was. The Bible says that rich man that God told to sell everything he has and give to the poor and come and follow me. You remember what the scripture says about that rich man? He went away sorrowful, didn't he? He went away sorrowful because he loved the riches more. Here Zacchaeus is not in love with his riches. He's in love with the Lord Jesus. And so God has his heart. You may be rich today, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're rich and that's your God, when your death comes, you'll answer to that God. And you'll answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that God of richness can't save you. Never will be able to. Verse 9 says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Was Zacchaeus saved because he was a son of Abraham? No. He was saved because his heart was a true heart of faith, just like the heart of his father Abraham. Abraham is the father of all that believe. By the way, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have the Ten Commandments in their day. They didn't have to keep Ten Commandments. Their heart was, they trusted the Lord by faith. It wasn't until Moses, many, many years later, that the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites. Abraham was a man of faith. He was the father of faith. Zacchaeus was a true son of Abraham, a spiritual son, and every one of us this morning who claim the name of Jesus are spiritual sons of Abraham because we are a people of faith. So here Jesus went out of his way to meet Zacchaeus. Why did he go out of his way? Well, look at verse 10. Can we read this verse together? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, as a Christian today, you are a part of that ministry of reconciliation. You are a part of God's instrument to be used to reach the lost of this world. Zacchaeus went out of his way to see Jesus, and listen, he wasn't disappointed. He wasn't disappointed. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you made your personal commitment to Christ? Because if Jesus comes today, if Jesus comes today to take His church home and you've never made a personal commitment, you won't be leaving. I mean, you can come back to this church next Sunday and I'm going to promise you that there'll be a lot fewer. If Jesus comes for His church, there's going to be a lot fewer people here than there are today. Because Jesus is going to take His church home and you need to be ready to go. And the only way that you're going to be able to be ready to go is not because you happen to have so many dollar bills and you can pay your way into heaven. It'll never work. And not because you've done so much and you've got all these pens and all of these other things to show that you've attended church and you've been active in the Sunday school program. That's not going to work either. The way you get to heaven is by trusting faithfully, wholly, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Lord, I need rest. The best night's sleep in the world will never compare to the rest that the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. You need rest today? You need the Lord Jesus. And the Scripture says, the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. At that point in time, when you make that commitment from here, you become a son of God, but also a son of Abraham because you come to Christ by faith. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. He went out of his way to see the Lord Jesus. This week, you'll have an opportunity to witness on behalf of Christ. If you're a Christian, you will. And you won't have to go out of your way to do that. But maybe this week, the Lord may just happen to speak to you and say, "I want you to do something a little extra special." Let me tell you something. When you step out and go do that extra special thing, you're going to bless somebody else, but God is going to bless you in such a wonderful way. In our bulletin, there are so many things that are available to do for others. And, you know, Jesus says when you do it to the least of these, you've done it to who? You've done it to me. Don't ever use the excuse, "Well, I don't have an avenue for service." Well, I'll tell you what, there's many avenues for service every day. Every day. How about you? How's your service? How was your service last week? How will your service be this week? Jesus says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel." And that's our calling. That's the only reason Christians are here. Only reason Christians are here today is to share their love of the Lord Jesus Christ with others, in your work area, in your schools, in your home, wherever. Will you go out of your way this week for the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for these that have come this way. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we just ask You this week, as You move upon us, Father, there's somebody out in this world that doesn't know You as, there's many folks in this world that don't know You as a personal Savior, but there's somebody out there that we know personally that we've never made any indication. They don't even know we're a Christian because we've never shared that with them. Father, I pray this week we will have the strength and the courage, and we'll be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that we will share our love for the Lord Jesus, and we'll share the knowledge of knowing that Christ is coming soon for His church. And that that one that we share it with, that the Holy Spirit will so move upon their heart, knock upon their heart's door, Father, that that person will be so convicted that they'll open their heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness for their sin, and come in to the kingdom of God. Father, use us in a wonderful and powerful way this week. Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, help them to realize that today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come for them. And you've made it very clear that it is for one to die in unbelief is an eternal sin, is an eternal judgment. Father, there is no forgiveness for that sin. People talk about the unpardonable sin. There's only one unpardonable sin that any one human being can commit, and that's to die in unbelief. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would encourage this fellowship to move this week in a wonderful and powerful way to witness on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, that others might come into the kingdom. Father, help us to be, determined to climb up into that tree, if necessary, to witness on your behalf. Father, bless in Jesus' name. Amen.